Chapter 19. Now if the waters had at this time receded from Wang Lung's land, leaving it wet and smoking under the sun, so that in a few days of summer heat it would need to have been ploughed and harrowed and seed put in, Wang Lung might never have gone again to the great tea shop. Or if a child had fallen ill, or the old man had reached suddenly to the end of his days, Wang Lung might have been caught up in the new thing and so forgotten the pointed face upon the scroll, and the body of the woman, slender as a bamboo. But the waters lay placid and unmoved, except for the slight summer wind that rose at sunset. And the old man dozed, and the two boys trudged to school at dawn and were away until evening. And in his house Wang Lung was restless, and he avoided the eyes of O Lan, who looked at him miserably as he went here and there, and flung himself down in a chair and rose from it without drinking the tea she poured and without smoking the pipe he had lit. At the end of one long day, more long than any other, in the seventh month, when the twilight lingered murmurous and sweet with the breath of the lake, he stood at the door of his house, and suddenly, without a word, he turned abruptly and went into his room and put on his new coat, even the coat of black shining cloth, as shining almost as silk, that O Lan made for feast days. And with no word to anyone, he went over the narrow paths along the water's edge and through the fields until he came to the darkness of the city gate. And through this he went, and through the streets, until he came to the new tea shop. There every light was lit, bright oil lamps which are to be bought in the foreign cities of the coast. And men sat under the lights, drinking and talking, their robes open to the evening coolness, and everywhere fans moved to and fro, and good laughter flowed out like music into the street. All the gaiety which Wang Lung had never had from his labor on the land was held here in the walls of this house, where men met to play and never to work. Wang Lung hesitated upon the threshold, and he stood in the bright light which streamed from the open doors. And he might have stood there and gone away, for he was fearful and timid in his heart still, although his blood was rushing through his body fit to burst his veins. But there came out of the shadows on the edge of the light a woman who had been leaning idly against the doorway, and it was Cuckoo. She came forward when she saw a man's figure, for it was her business to get customers for the women of the house, but when she saw who it was, she shrugged her shoulders and said, "Ah, it's only the farmer." Wang was stung with the sharp carelessness in her voice, and his sudden anger gave him a courage he had not otherwise, so that he said, "Well, and may I not come into the house, and may I not do as other men?" And she shrugged herself again and laughed and said, "If you have the silver that other men have, you may do as they do." And he wished to show her that he was lordly and rich enough to do as he liked. And he thrust his hand into his girdle and brought it out full of silver. And he said to her, "Is it enough? And is it not enough?" She stared at the handful of silver and said then without further delay, "Come and say which one you wish." And Wang Lung, without knowing what he said, muttered forth, "Well, and I don't know that I want anything." And then his desire overcame him, and he whispered, "That little one, that one with the pointed chin, and a little small face, a face like a quince blossom for white and pink, and she holds a lotus bud in her hand." The woman nodded easily, and beckoning him, she threaded her way between the crowded tables, and Wang Lung followed her at a distance. At first it seemed to him that every man looked up and watched him, but when he took courage to see, he saw that none paid him any heed, except for one or two, who called out, "Is it late enough, then, to go to the women?" And another called, "Here is a lusty fellow who needs must begin early." But by this time they were walking up the narrow straight stairway, and this Wang Lung did with difficulty, for it was the first time he had ever climbed steps in a house. Nevertheless, when they reached the top, it was the same as a house on the earth, except that it seemed a mighty way up when he passed a window and looked into the sky. The woman led the way down a close, dark hall then, and she cried as she went, "Now here is the first man of the night!" All along the hall, doors opened suddenly, and here and there girls' heads showed themselves in patches of light, as flowers burst out of their sheaths in the sun. But Cuckoo called cruelly, "No, not you, and not you. No one has asked for any of you. This one is for the little pink-faced dwarf from Suchao, for Lotus." A ripple of sound ran down the hall, indistinct, derisive, and one girl, ruddy as a pomegranate, called out in a big voice, "And Lotus may have this fellow. He smells of the fields and of garlic." This Wang Lung heard, although he disdained to answer, although her words smote him like a dagger thrust, because he feared that he looked indeed what he was, a farmer. But he went on stoutly when he remembered the good silver in his girdle, and at last the woman struck a closed door, harshly with the flat palm of her hand, and went in without waiting, and there, upon a bed covered with a flowered red quilt, sat a slender girl. If one had told him there were small hands like these, he wouldn't have believed it. Hands so small, and bones so fine, and fingers so pointed with long nails stained the color of lotus buds, deep and rosy. And if one had told him that there could be feet like these, little feet thrust into pink satin shoes no longer than a man's middle finger, and swinging childishly over the bed's edge, if anyone had told him, he wouldn't have believed it. He sat stiffly on the bed beside her, staring at her, and he saw that she was like the picture. And having seen the picture, he would have known her if he had met her. But most of all, her hand was like the painted hand, curling and fine, and white as milk. Her two hands lay curling into each other upon the pink and silken lap of her robe, and he wouldn't have dreamed that they were to be touched. He looked at her as he had looked at the picture, and he saw the figure, slender as bamboo, in its tight, short upper coat. He saw the small, pointed face, set in its painted prettiness above the high collar lined with white fur. He saw the round eyes, the shape of apricots. So that now, at last, he understood what the storytellers meant when they sang of the apricot eyes of the beauties of old. And for him, she wasn't flesh and blood, but the painted picture of a woman. Then she lifted that small, curling hand and put it upon his shoulder, and she passed it slowly down the length of his arm, very slowly. And although he had never felt anything so light, so soft as that touch, although if he hadn't seen it, he would not have known that it passed, he looked and saw the small hand moving down his arm, and it was as though fire followed it and burned under through his sleeve and into the flesh of his arm. And he watched the hand until it reached the end of his sleeve, and then it fell with an instant's practiced hesitation upon his bare wrist, and then into the loose hollow of his hard, dark hand. And he began to tremble, not knowing how to receive it. Then he heard laughter, light, quick, tinkling as the silver bell upon the pagoda shaking in the wind, and a little voice like laughter said, "Oh, and how ignorant you are, you great fellow. Shall we sit here the night through while you stare?" And at that he seized her hand between both of his, but carefully, because it was like a fragile, dry leaf, hot and dry. And he said to her imploringly, and not knowing what he said, "I don't know anything. Teach me." And she taught him.